Morning, Saints.
So, do you remember this well-known verse? Rejoice in the Lord always. Let's parse this apart just a little here. This is a powerful statement, and it's a very distinctly Christian statement. Rejoice is an imperative. It's a command. Telling us to rejoice. Happiness can ebb and flow with your circumstances. Joy comes from within. So the Apostle Paul here says, rejoice and always rejoice. Never stop rejoicing. Why? Because you are not rejoicing necessarily in what's going on around you, but you're rejoicing in the Lord. And as Tim led us earlier, that is something we can always do because we are in Christ, because God loves us. We rejoice always. The second half says this. Watch this. Again, I will say, rejoice. The reason why I'm flashing this verse up from Philippians chapter 4 is to highlight what we encounter often in Scripture, and that is something will be told us, and whenever God says anything, we need to pay attention and obey if necessary or be edified by it. But when the Lord repeats what he just said, that is a double way of getting our attention to say, yes, you read that correctly. Rejoice in the Lord always. Our passage today is a crowning statement in a profound passage about the gospel and its ministry in our lives. And Peter will employ what Paul employed in Philippians 4. He will repeat himself. Now, when we read our text, we will see that Peter employs a common approach in his day in writing and making an argument. He will invoke his own impending martyrdom. Others, very well known in Jewish literature especially, others would invoke the fact that they're old and about to pass on, so please listen to what I'm about to say. Peter is indeed an older man at this point. But he is going to die a martyr's death, as we saw from John a little earlier in the service. It's Peter's way of saying, listen to what I am saying. It carries great importance. What we will focus on this morning are three things from Peter's perspective. What I am saying, why I am saying it, and when I'm saying it. All three are very important. What, why, and when. Why am I saying these things in the way that I am saying them? And I will say this, it is all about movement in our lives, moving intentionally to maturity in Christ, pressing on versus remaining stagnant, distracted, discouraged, etc., and ultimately sliding backwards. So let's read our passage together. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, we read this. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon. As our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Now, let's begin with what Peter is saying. And you will need your Bibles for this. If not, just listen along as I go through this. So I want to walk through very briefly the entire passage that we're now concluding this morning. We're going to look at the what. What is Peter saying to us? It is all about the gospel. It is all about Christ, which, by the way, is the emphasis of every letter in the New Testament. Verse 1. We're going to do this very quickly. To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The gospel is predicated upon the righteousness of God Almighty. The righteousness of God Almighty condemned sin because God is holy. But here's the beauty of the gospel. Christ stood in our place. And so Christ suffered and died in accordance with the righteousness and the holiness of God. Verse 2, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That is always God's heart for us, that grace and peace, mercy, etc., be multiplied in our lives, and the vehicle is through knowing Jesus Christ personally and growing in that same relationship. Verse 3, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything we need to live the Christian life, to live in accordance with godliness and with righteousness, has been given to us, and it is once again through the vehicle of knowing Jesus Christ personally as our Savior and Lord and growing in that. God is the one, again, verse 3, who called us to his own glory and excellence. God has called us to his very glory, to the excellence of who he is. This is no small calling. It changes everything. It is why Paul told the Colossians that Christ is your life. Verse 4. He has granted to us his very precious and great promises. He's given us Bible truths, promises upon which we stand and into which we grow, that we might, as we discussed before, become partakers of the divine nature, that is, fellowship with God himself. Why? This is again the essence of the gospel. We have escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. If that is not a part of the gospel that you preach, you're not preaching the gospel. The gospel is not 10 steps to a better life. The gospel is to escape the sin that is in this world. To believe that God condemned Jesus in your place. That he stood in your place, suffered in your place, and your faith and your confidence are in him and in him alone as your Savior. Apart from your efforts to please God or to somehow earn his acceptance of you or love for you. Now let's take a look at the application part, which is verses 5-9. Once more, I have my handy little pyramid picture to show you, and we're going to run through this very quickly. Peter says this, having come to Christ through faith, Don't stay there. Don't stand idle. Yes, it is true that we are born again, that we are saved, that we enter into God's kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ. That's a true statement. We are forgiven. We are adopted into God's family. All of those things are very, very true. That's what we call justification. But Peter is now going to push us in the area of what we call sanctification, which is the process on this side of glory of becoming more Christ-like at the heart level. And so he says, verse 5 and following, make every effort. This is not a half-hearted engagement. Make every effort to add to your faith 7 beautiful virtues. Goodness, knowledge about the Lord, self-control, perseverance through difficult times, godliness, brotherly kindness, that's phileo, brotherly kindness and affection for one another, but also a love that's deeper, that is agape love, in which you roll up your sleeves and you get into the messiness of one another's lives and you lay your life down for the guy next to you. This is what Peter is saying. This is the beginning chunk of this passage. Now, Peter does something extraordinary. He takes a few verses to literally just say, look, I'm just going to keep on saying the same thing I was just saying over here. He doesn't exactly introduce new theology in the next few verses. He's just saying, look, I'm not going to stop telling you this. So let's look at the second question. Why is Peter saying this? Why is Peter saying what he is saying in the first 15 verses of this chapter? Well, we see that in verse 12, right off the bat. So that you are established in the truth. So you are established in the truth of the gospel, the truth about Christ, the truth about who you are in Christ, that you would be established in this, that you would be standing on solid ground because, remember his first letter, tumultuous times are coming. You will be persecuted for your faith. And oh, by the way, you live in a fallen world. So we're going to throw on top of that all the trials and tribulations that we face living in a fallen world. Why is Peter telling us these things? That we might be well established in the truth. But watch this from verses 5 to 9, that we are moving in a direction, that we are pressing on in Christ, that we are growing in the knowledge and in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we are developing the blessing of full assurance of who we are in Christ, that we live that from day to day, that the assurance of our salvation is a vital and a beautiful aspect of our lives from the heart level. Second reason why he's saying this. He's like, I'm about to die. I'm not going to be around much longer. I'm getting up there in years, yes. But our Lord has already told me that I am going to honor him with a death that I don't ask for, that I don't wake up and plan for my day. I am soon going to, as he says, literally cast aside the tent of this body. I am about to die a death to honor God. What Jesus told him, you know, when you're younger, you take care of yourself, you do what you want to do, you dress yourself, you go here or there. But there's coming a day, Peter, when someone will do that for you and they won't ask permission. And the death that you will die will glorify God. We know from history that Peter was crucified for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, I am not worthy to be crucified in the same manner of my Lord. So would you please turn that cross upside down? Why is Peter saying all of these things? Because he loves them. Because he has the marks of Jesus on his body, as Paul said. He has suffered for the gospel. And Lord knows we all love Peter because we can relate with him. When we read the gospels, it's like, oh, there he goes again. Foot and mouth disease. I remind you often, it was Peter who had the distinction of being the first disciple to rebuke Jesus when Jesus first disclosed to them that he was going to die. Peter was right. You can just cue it up. The words just fell from Jesus' lips and Peter was right there to say, no, 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 you've got it wrong. That's not how the script goes. You're going to deliver us from the Romans, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But Peter now is saying, I am soon going to shed the tent of my body to be with the Lord. It's all about movement. Which direction are you moving in? It's quite linear. You are either moving forward and growing by God's grace in your knowledge of the Lord and being filled with the love that he has for you and the wonderful assurance of your salvation in your heart. Or you're just kind of stagnant. You're distracted. You're not moving in any direction. And honestly, that position typically winds up with you going backwards. So Peter is saying, look, I want you to keep moving forward. Verse 5, don't ever forget this. Make every effort. He literally says, for this reason. Verse 5, for this reason, make every effort. What I described to you about the glorious gospel, you make every effort, you be intentional to supplement that beautiful, simple faith and supplement that faith with all these wonderful qualities. Now there is a time element. When am I saying this? When is Peter saying this? Because this is important as well. Verse 12. Let's find out. Therefore, remember what the therefore is there for, right? He's talking about what he just talked about all through verse 11. I intend always to remind you. Have you ever felt that your parents are like telling you the same thing over and over and over again? You know, everything from the mundane about your room being clean to your homework being done to bigger things in life. Peter is playing that role because he loves us. He says, I will not stop talking about this. Do you notice the emphasis that is placed on something that is so simple and uncomplicated? is for all of us, and we always need to hear it. Don't grow stagnant. Grow in your love for people. Grow in your self-control. Grow in godliness, in decency. Do not stay still. So Peter says, verse 12, I will always remind you of this. I'm not going to stop talking about it until those nails or that rope goes around my hand. It's what I will be telling you. Verse 13 and 14. I think it right, he says, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. He is literally telling them, until the day I die, this is what I'm going to tell you. Until the day that I leave this earth, when I am literally, physically not with you, I'm going to keep on talking about this. So get ready. That's what he's saying. It is so important. Peter devotes three verses before he moves on to the next subject to tell them why this is so important. And to tell them that as long as he's with them, as long as he is breathing, he's going to be talking about this. Grow in Christ. Spoiler alert. That is the last verse in this second letter. Grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, chapter 3, verse 18. So Peter is saying, the what is the truth of the gospel. The why is because he wants us to be established in it. There's so much that will distract or deceive or discourage in life. When? Literally 24/7. As long as I can talk, that's what I'll be talking about. So saints, please let this passage sink in. If the Apostle Peter, who only gave us two short-ish letters, can take the time in his letter to say, I'm going to be talking about this over and over and over and over as long as I am with you. Know the truth of the gospel. Be intentional about growing in Christ, about developing these seven qualities in your life. We need to pay attention to that. Please take your Bibles and turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Joshua. Joshua is towards the beginning. I'd like to take you to some familiar territory, I think. You might know who Joshua is. He was the successor to Moses. Moses led the people out of Egypt towards the promised land. Moses didn't make it in. Joshua is the one who took them into the promised land. And under Joshua's leadership and the elders that were surrounding him, there was, generally speaking, peace and righteousness that prevailed throughout his time of leadership. But I want to take you to well-known words from Joshua. They're in the promised land. Joshua is now old. Verse 14, Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14. That's the setting. Now here are the words. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. You could literally drop that into 2 Peter and no one would even know that is not from Peter. It's the same message from beginning to end. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Verse 15. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Have you ever seen that on the wall in someone's house, in a church, maybe your own house? It's very, very well known. Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is Joshua speaking to the people. But I want you to see the exact setting in which he is speaking to the people. Flip back to chapter 23 and we'll start in verse 1. A long time afterwards, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their surrounding enemies, and Joshua was, what was he? Old and well advanced in years. Joshua summoned all Israel, its elders and heads, its judges and officers, and said to them, I am now old and well advanced in years. I am now old and well advanced in years. Go back to chapter 24, verse 19. After these things, Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died. What is this from Joshua? That well-known verse that you are likely familiar with, choose ye this day whom you will serve, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is his last will and testament. This is his final words before he dies. You can see these throughout the Old Testament. Peter, the very Jewish apostle, is reaching back to very well-known method and invoking the fact that he is about to die. So please listen to what I'm saying here. That's what he's saying. Please listen to me. When I say make every effort, just remember I'm about to die. I'll no longer be with you. Joshua, Peter, others have invoked this method to get their message across. What Peter is saying, make every effort to grow. I'm going to tell you over and over and over again. You see, the Christian life actually is not complicated. Keep moving in the right direction. Grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's bow and prepare our hearts for prayer. As we take a moment before the Lord to consider what we've just encountered and the urgency with which Peter brings it to us, I want to highlight that for you as you give quiet reflection upon God's word this morning. No judgment from me, but are you moving in the right direction? Or do you find yourself tied, your mind tied up in a knot over things that are not the gospel? Keep moving. Keep moving forward. Keep going deeper to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Because ultimately, that is where the practical assurance of our salvation explodes as we're walking with him in close fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Oh, we know that we know that we know that he loves us. that we belong to him. We know what's ahead. It's a beautiful thing. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the simplicity and the power and the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Thank you for the free gift of eternal life. Thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, who suffered in the place of sinners, who died and rose again. And the call that goes out to every single person: turn in repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for you and rose again. And trust him alone. Apart from your works and efforts, as your Savior and Lord. It is literally as uncomplicated as acknowledging those truths, that you as a sinner, you need a Savior, and Christ is that perfect and all-sufficient Savior. Amen. To call out for mercy to him and take him as your Savior and Lord. Lord, there are indeed many, many things happening in and around us, many challenges that are known only to us, many challenges that are known to the entire world. Things can feel so unstable. There are disappointments. There are challenges. Lord, I pray that you would refresh and revive us, that we would follow you with great intent, that we would encourage one another to do the same, that we would stir one another up to love and to good works, that we would stir one another up, that we would not live for the temporal but for the eternal, that we would take great comfort in your unconditional and abiding love for us, which is not a fluffy idea. But you sent your Son for us. You demonstrated love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Please renew us as we walk out these doors today, that we will be intentional about seeking you, walking with you, and walking with one another, and helping and encouraging and supporting one another as we all try to move in the right direction. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.